Welcome, everybody.
Praise God, we're on the air. And
good morning, everybody.
Good afternoon to everybody else.
Oh, man, one of us ought to sound like we know what we're doing. I'm just saying.
Well, when I start off that way, it becomes really bad. If I start off not having a clue what I'm doing, it goes a lot better.
Oh, me. I'm still sitting here looking up a passage. But we're kind of sitting here banging around some of the scripture we used in the service, which was 1 Corinthians 13, amongst others. And
That one hit me strong, Paulie, today.
Yeah, it does that.
Really kind of got me to a place of, you know, my sin is ever before me. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? But, you know, praise be to God is one of those things that, one of those things you can see, the Lord can take off. Because He's good.
Yeah.
He's there to give us what we need if we're about Him.
So many of the attributes of agape in 1 Corinthians 13, they don't feel good. And they don't... That's part of the reason why, you know, in Scripture, in Colossians, it tells us to put off the old man, put on the new man, put on Jesus, put on Jesus. It's because, yeah, in our carnality, we're all about us.
Yeah.
And the charity or agape is a love of choice. It's not a love of feels good. You want a love of feels good? Go for Eros. But do it with a wife. Or, you know, philia, which is, you know,
you make me feel good about myself.
You make me feel good about me. Yeah. But, you know, these charities suffer long. I don't want to suffer. Come on. What? Why would I want to suffer? Why would I? Well, I would choose to do it because if I'm going to walk as Jesus walked, Jesus chose the cross.
Amen.
For us. For dirtbags like you and me.
Yeah.
You know,
That's the whole thing. I mean, you know, what I liked about Corinthians 13, and as you were going on, and that is one of the things that it does, is it really brings up the self-deceiving that you're on any kind of right path. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just brings out the truth on what true agape is.
Well, you
is,
and compare this thing to how you are, and you go, oh man, I'm not. That's nothing
right,
like this.
Right.
Well, this is really a testimony against me. And it suffers long. It's kind. Okay, that's all right. It envieth not. Well, you know, it vaunteth not itself. I mean, you're not all about you. It's, everybody else is.
It ain't about lifting yourself up or making you something that you're not.
Yeah. You're a poser. Is not puffed up. You don't need to be the center of attention while you're displaying your piety or your self-righteousness. I mean, it doesn't seek its own. Doth not behave itself unseemly.
Wow.
Okay. It is not easily provoked. Like behind the steering wheel of the car, or in a customer service line. Walmart.
Or jail tires and brakes when you're going, ah! You answer the phone and go, it's a great day here at Gerald's Tires and Brakes. Oh!
Why does Gerald's make you lie like that? I'm done. I'm wrong. Rejoiceth not, thinketh no evil, is not easily broke, thinketh no evil.
That's a...
You know, there is nothing that more exemplifies our sin than to put our evil and our evil intent, because it is the way we are, onto somebody else who may not have had any such thing going.
Yeah.
But that's the way we are. That's why we needed Jesus.
Amen. You know, that part, if we back up, the seeketh not her own, you look at that. I mean, you know, you look at all of this, and this is what Jesus walked in perfectly. You know, he went to the... Sorry.
Let's go. Let's just go back. What is it, to Matthew 6? If it seeketh not his own. Matthew 6 says what?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God
and his righteousness. And
all these things will be added unto you.
All these things will be added unto you. That's why, what difference does it make whether you're seeking your own or not? If you're seeking him, then you've got him, and that's all you need.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is, if the mind of Christ, I mean, he went to the cross for us.
For the joy set before him.
For the joy that was set before him. Not because he needed it, because we did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He suffered because we needed it.
And
he was looking at the well-being of others.
All it would be was unpleasant. It would never pay the debt.
No. And it was all for the well-being of others. You know, this seeketh not our own is...
For others.
It's for others.
Right. Now, there's enough negative there to give us hours and hours of self-reflection and introspection. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Well, that's what, all that other stuff sounded really good, didn't he? But he had to tag that one with endureth all things for. I mean, have I ever spoken these words? Wait a minute. I am done! I'm done!
Paul, quit talking about me.
Talking about me.
Hey, look, you say you endureth all things. Man, that's a big one. I'm thinking, I started off at charity suffereth long.
You never got off of that. You're still stuck there.
Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not. Just stop. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. I'm thinking, thinketh no evil. Oh my goodness. I give it just a little bit of place, and I can come up in the whole scheme of a conspiracy of somebody, how somebody's trying to screw me over. You know, it's give it just a little bit of space. It'll overtake me, overrun me. Their agenda. Yeah, I got it figured all out.
Right.
You know? Too often. Way too often.
I'm looking up a word here. You're going to have to kind of keep things rolling along here briefly.
Okay.
While I'm looking this stuff up.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, I look at what we're reading as far as charity goes, and what I see as far as charity goes is, you know, you brought back this morning, you nailed some good things this morning, Paul, on charity. It's something we need to go on. And two, you had that part where Jesus was saying, hey, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Lord, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I philios you. Feed my sheep. You know, and that kept going. You know, we're here. And what we are learning to do right now, what the Lord's asking us to do, is to love with an agape love, which is the description of what we're reading right now. And we do that by what? Choice. And it's one of those things where you may fancy yourself to have gotten this or any of these things, but when you really look at the description of charity, it really puts in perspective how far from the mark I am. This is the measuring stick, not one against ourselves, but this to the Word of God.
Right.
This is it. And when you...
I looked up the concept of suffering long. And it really means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. Slow to anger, slow to punish. To be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. It's translated patient, having patience, having long patience. To bear long, to suffer long. To be long-suffering and patiently endure. Sounds like it's a real close synonym to the patient in Romans 5. So, anyway.
I look at that as it's a loyalty.
This is going to necessitate me looking up two more versions of this word.
Okay.
But it is, in this case, it's not exactly pain that we're suffering. It's we're allowing grace upon others by taking their offenses. When Paul says, 1 Corinthians, back in the end of 6, he talks about why not suffer the wrong? You take one another to court. Why not just willingly be wronged? What's it to you? Go before unbelievers to be judged? What's that about? You know, your pride and your vanity is just... Anyhow.
And you look at, because... And I look at that loyalty, and I mean, that when you looked at that word patient and the unswerving loyalty, I mean, that's a loyalty no matter what's going on and the offenses that are happening around you or the situation. It's a loyalty, you know, to me, I look at that in the situation, a loyalty about the gospel.
Right.
It's, you know, Davey put down here in the chat, it's permitting others to be jerks while we extend grace.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where I was going to go with this is the uncomfortable to our flesh. Some of this is be willing to be wronged by somebody, to be willing to endure, not pleasant. And, you know, while it is not physical harm, it's uncomfortable. It's like having a nerve in your back giving you pain. It's not going to kill you, but it's terribly unpleasant. You know, it's not stop the world and let me get off, but it's, you know, it's a sore spot, right? This is not the same suffering that Jesus went through, but Jesus. His suffering was physical. You know, they put him on the cross. Ours is just, our suffering is we're not like him and we're trying at conflict and odds with our flesh and our old man to be obedient to him and walk as he walked.
You know, at the same time, his was physical. But it was also the same, I mean, you know, I read Psalm 22, and what I liked about Psalm 22 is when he starts, it's the prophecy of him going to the cross, Jesus going to the cross, and it was like from a perspective of what he went through. I mean, because we read the Gospels, and we read what he went through. But
right.
In 22, it actually shows that, you know, how he was just absolutely rejected and crucified, and took the offense of the whole world and the part of where he was coming from and what his sufferings were in it. And to me, it was interesting. So,
well,
the interesting thing is, as you go into, let me see what I can get out of this, but I'm going to go to 1 Peter. It is not an exact parallel, but it is something that we do experience. Because one of the things in 1 Peter 4, it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh," he took our punishment for us. "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." If the suffering that's going on, if your flesh is screaming, "I'm not like this," endureth all things, suffereth long, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. None of this stuff comes natural to us. It's something we have to choose to do. And whereas it's not tacking our hands up to a cross, you know, this does, is painful to our flesh. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. It's not a place that we naturally go to. It's a place we have to choose to occupy. Because this whole operation is a choice. You don't have to do it.
Amen.
You don't have to walk as you walk. You don't have to do that. Good luck with that. I mean, you're going to need it. But just like Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured this, when you actually hit the mark, and you're doing, because at first maybe it's just in obedience, but he meets you in that, and he brings his joy to you. It's joyful. It's uplift. It's freeing. It gives you a sense of the joy of your salvation, the joy of meeting him in obedience. It is, in a sense, entering his rest. You cease from your own works. Now you're about doing his business. And that's a blessing. It is the joy that was set before him. It's our ability to find that, what I used to call a sweet spot.
Right. Is when you enter in that rest and you know it.
You're doing stuff because it's joyful to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not a burden. It's that I get to do this.
It's what I choose to live for right now.
Amen.
It is because he's good.
Amen.
Not because I want to be thought of well. I want the joy of pleasing him.
But you'd be an error in the Corinthians. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I mean, you'd be an error to that. No, it's not about that. It's because you do it because you love the Lord, and it's a joy that you can do that. And the Lord's given you the ability to do such. I mean, you look at the choice, the agape love of choice, you take a look at Jesus. When he was at the "not my will be done but yours," a striving against sin till blood came from his face.
Right.
You know, he was making that choice right there.
Right.
And he was suffering in the flesh, and he ceased from sin.
You touched on in 1 Timothy. This stuff's hard. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I mean, we want to please him. I want that to be the only reason I'm taking my next breath, is to please him. And, you know, so much of the stuff we've hit on over the last several weeks, and so much of it's in there in Colossians. So whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord.
Yeah, do it because
whether you're serving your master, whether you're serving your family, whatever the deal is.
You do it because you love the Lord.
Right.
And you do it, you love his doctrine.
You
agree with his doctrine.
Right.
You know that the case, that is his way.
Right. Absolutely. "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that you hit on, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He's charging him in serving as a soldier. It's hard. That's why there's a training issue. You train
for the worst case scenario. You train for how ugly it can possibly be. So there's no surprises. You don't get surprised. And that's hard. I mean, you know, the battlefield is not a pleasant place.
Well, you're training to make the choice to put on charity in all situations. You know, once again, you look at how did Paul, the apostle, go around, get stoned, shipwrecked, goes to Rome and goes all these things, praise God in the prison, because it was all about pleasing the Lord. And that didn't matter what happened to him, didn't care.
Right.
It was about that others out there need to receive the gospel, and that's what I'm sent here to do, and I don't care what I have to suffer in doing that.
Right.
Because he grabbed a hold and he made that choice to do such. And when you truly make that choice to do such, it's like the Lord shows up and you enter into that rest. And then he shows up abundantly, you can above or ask or think.
Let's, I just did the first verse of 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go dig in a little deeper in 1 Peter chapter 4. It makes a whole lot more sense when you understand that, yeah, Jesus suffered and bled, and it was horrible what he went through. Horrible.
Oh, I mean, that's what I talk about. Psalm 22.
And others did that to him. I mean, he didn't do it himself. He didn't.
Deserve it.
He didn't deserve it. We, on the other hand,
do.
And, you know, when you're spending all your time trying to please him, and your flesh is suffering in that it's not wanting to agree with any of this, but you're choosing to do it anyway because you love him, you want to please him, that he no longer should live in the rest, live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. This is actually talking about the suffering of the flesh. It doesn't sound like it's equitable, but it is, because we know the suffering that Jesus went through is awful. And we can't hang there. We can't. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. Now, this is what this could say. Is for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the ungodly. You know, the Gentiles are dogs. You know, and the gospel wasn't entrusted to them. So, that's what he's meaning here. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So, these are things that when you stop doing, you're not entertaining your flesh anymore.
Right.
And when you stop doing that, and that doesn't bother you anymore. What you're enjoying now is pleasing the Lord. Your flesh is screaming and, until you quit listening to it. Right? Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity amongst yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I don't want these people over here. I just want to be by myself.
Paul's picking on me again.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Have you ever considered yourself a steward of the manifold grace of God? As minister, that's what we are. It is. We've chosen that. Whether we recognize that or not, that is the way it is.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If what you're speaking are the oracles of God, if you're speaking the oracles of God by choice, and not speaking stuff to make yourself be puffed up or to make yourself put yourself in a better position. You know, it's like, David taking that challenge for a week. Say nothing, but was it yes and no and to preach? Couldn't justify himself. And everybody that I know of that has taken up that challenge has never lasted very long.
I ain't sure.
You're not gonna take the challenge. Yeah. Because that's how we are. But it's such a pleasure and a joy. It's an honor to be a steward of the manifold grace of God. And to be able to tell people how good He is. Speak the word of the Lord. Listen, this hurt. This flesh screaming out, first off, you're going to get used to it, and you're not going to pay it any attention. That's part of the training that we're going through. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We want to be able to be prompt. Yes, no, praise, preach, and pray. Yeah, that was Gail's. Gail knows exactly what the challenge was. I'm guessing it didn't work very long for her either. So this whole thing is, and again, Peter brings it back to charity, doesn't he? This is where we started with this whole thing. We didn't come to this with anything to offer. The only thing we can do is believe and choose to serve Him, to love Him, to try to please Him, right?
Right.
So let's see. Let me go back to, Colossians is kind of the tie-all, once again, it's the condensed gospel. It's great stuff. And everything that I'm about to read here is a series of choices. It's like, agape love is a love of the will. It's a determination you do despite how it feels. It allows you to take offenses from people and say, that's okay. Huh? Probably deserve it. It's an active decision to defer to other people at your expense and let the Lord take care of it. Trust the Lord.
And not just that, it's to defer the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, when we walk in His way, we get a handle of that charity. We get a handle on choosing Him above all things. We get a handle about all it's about is furthering gospel and loving His doctrine. What you're showing there in that is the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How many times have people in this ministry have stood in a place of standing up for the gospel? And was ready to take me back in after being just an idiot. They did it. Why? Because they loved the Lord and His way and His doctrine. And when thy brother come back, how many times shall we forgive thy brother? Well, 70 times 7. You know what? They heard that word. They did that word. Because of that, I'm here.
Yeah.
Because somebody loved me enough to tell me the gospel and tell me the truth. This is why we're here. If we're not about His way, if we're not about taking on that mind of Christ and walking in charity, which is a choice, you're not showing the gospel. You're not living the gospel. And what could be received of that? I mean, nothing.
Let me start in 2:20, Colossians. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using? After the commandments and doctrines of men. What is that going to do for you?
Not a thing.
Not a thing. But they'll think you're special.
Well, that's the outside appearance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we have this touch not, taste not, handle not a lot in the scriptures back in the New Testament here, but what you have is, we do that. We might not have that so much now. Actually, we do. If you go to some of these churches, you can't do that, you can't do this. But we not have that so much now. But, you know, they did this thing to justify themselves. What do we do? I mean, do we do serve our bosses as unto the Lord or to look good? I mean, you know, we can be doing anything that you might say, a job or work or whatever, but if we can be doing it to justify ourselves and trying to do a work, or we can be doing it as unto the Lord.
Which you is can be building it, a case different. Hands. Look, I did this and I did that. And look.
You know, I mean, it's going to come down to Matthew. Haven't I done these wonderful works in thy name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity. You worked this thing out to justify yourself, to make yourself look good. You made it all about you.
All right. Which all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed eschewed wisdom and will worship and humility and the neglecting or severity to the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And in order to be risen with Christ, you have to have died with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's that verse. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Things on the earth corrupt. They disappoint. They don't ever satisfy. They don't fulfill. You always got to have more. You got to have more. You got to have more. Just like
the spirit and James. Like drugs. Just like, yeah, well, and look at James. Isn't that the spirit, the lust is the envy?
Yeah. Got to have more, got to have more, next thing, new thing, now thing,
yep.
Right now, me, now.
I mean, that could be anything. That can be work, that could be things, that could be drugs, that could be alcohol, that could be anything. But really, it's the flesh in its natural state is what it is.
Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's the if then. If ye be risen with Christ, then three, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where you want to be. That's the sweet spot. So if you are where you say you are, then it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear in him in glory. And that's the inheritance. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to get to. Set your affections. That's a choice. That's what you do. Therefore, in 5, another choice. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All that stuff is idolatry. All of it. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Seeing then that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And that, too, is a choice. Lie not is a choice. And putting on the new man.
The whole thing where you said, you know, way in the beginning, where it says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Look, that's a choice there.
Right.
That's an action. Put off these things.
Right. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. One follows the other. Put off the old man with his deeds. And those are the deeds, back in verse 8. Those are the deeds of the old man.
Then you can put on the new man.
Then you put on the new man.
You can't put on both.
Right.
And you know, what does the new man do? The new man glorifies the Lord.
That's just a choice. You choose to do it. The new man, which is renewed in knowledge. We don't know the Creator until we seek Him and find out what He is. And then we can reveal Him to other people. Which is what we're called to do. We're called to be the revelators to the family of how great our Creator is. How loving, how merciful, how gracious. How He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to take the penalty for us. To abolish the handwritings, blot out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All those charges got dropped. They got dropped at the cross. You know, that's great stuff. That's really great stuff. And that's how we get, that sets us free from the accusation. Sets us free from being in bondage to sin and death. This is such good stuff. And it doesn't matter what your position is in the world. It doesn't matter that you're somebody or you're nobody, a nothing. The same truths are true for everyone. There's neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And it's all about Him.
Amen.
All about Him. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. This is starting to sound again like 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? This is really a definition of charity. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. Do's in italics. Do's not really there. Added to make it make sense. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So we all come back to charity. And though I can do all these other things, if I have not charity,
it's not worth a darn.
Worthless. Absolutely worthless. And when you get in there, and this is really all the definition of what the sweet spot is. This is the sweet spot. This is where you want to be. Because this is it. You actually are a partaker of the joy of the Lord in here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. That's not too hard. I'm really thankful every time I'm there. I need to spend more time there. It should be from the time I roll out of bed until the time I go to bed.
Amen.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And you know, there's not the same words are showing up in this passage that, you know, show up in where is it, 2 Peter and in James. Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom. That means know it and understand it and believe it. Not in that order. Believe it. Know it and understand it. That's pretty much the way that order works. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Because that's what we do for each other. That's how we keep each other on track That's, again, that's love. That's a choice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How great is that? And that covers just a multiplicity of things. Everything whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do also in the name of the Lord Jesus. In word, let them be the oracles of God. God loves you. He wants you to choose to obey Him and serve Him and become His friend. And you can do that because Jesus came first and He took your penalty, He dropped the charges, and made you clean. It just doesn't get any better than that. I think that's a pretty good end point. God bless all of y'all. Thank you for joining us this week. And we'll see you next time right here on the Hour of Truth.